Amen. Praise God. I'm going to need some more tissues. The presence of God is so heavy this morning. I had to ask the Lord to calm my emotions and my spirit. I'm really loud, so if I can have my mic down. Man, hallelujah. I'm going to blow someone's ears, drums out. I think, can I go a little lower? Just a little. Sorry, it's just that I'm really loud. Amen. First, I just want to thank the Lord for my salvation. I am so grateful that God rescued me. God, when He did, because I was so lost and bound in my own self and in my own life and doing what I wanted and going where I wanted to go. And God had another plan. But it wasn't until I had nothing and that I was broken and empty that I actually even paid attention. Amen? Some of us have been there. Amen? Isn't that beautiful? That God patiently waits for us. This morning, I thank God for, of course, my husband. He's not as bad as he sounds, as he makes himself sound. Amen. There's one thing I love, love, love about my husband, because there's many things I love about him. But one thing I love is that he remains in the truth. And women, it's not easy to hear the truth, right? How does this dress make me look? You just learn not to ask certain questions anymore if you don't want the answer to them. Just kidding. He operates with grace. Amen. Thank God for that. And, of course, Pastor Marty and his wife. I don't know where she's at. But thank you, Pastor, for being obedient to God. Amen. Before I start, I have to say it because I'm super excited. Last Sunday, we had a prophecy about grandchildren. And I'm going to be a grandmother. How surprised was my daughter when I said, oh, we know already. God already prepared us. I'm going to be called Grammy, so that's my name. I got to start getting used to it. Amen. But this morning, the Lord has been preparing this message in my spirit, and I'm so filled, and my spirit is just turning, and I'm like, Lord, how am I going to get it all out? How am I going to release all of it out of my mouth from my spirit into your people, Lord? How? And the Lord gave me in Ezekiel, He says, when I speak with you, I will open your mouth, says the Lord. And you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, he who hears, let him hear. But he who refuses, let him refuse. And that's heavy. Because the word is the word is the word is the word. But it's if we receive it or if we refuse it. Amen? And the Lord said to me, I'm going to give you and you're going to release. Their job is to receive and the Lord's job is to fulfill it. In your life. Amen. And I love the word of God. I love the power of the word of God. It has taken a new level in my life and in my walk with God to just really embrace the calling that God has given me in my life. And I remember it was so clear. I mean, I've heard it with prophecies and different words and my husband and other people and the Lord showing me, but I remember specifically driving in a car, looking out of the window into the field of nothingness, and the Lord just said right there, you are a minister of the word. Just like that. There wasn't a title. There wasn't a, you have to be this and this years and experience and education. No, you are a minister of the word. And as I embraced that, as I heard that, I was try not to cry because we had just came from HEB. But I began to just, I want that. I embrace that, Lord. And I want to share with you what the Word of God is. Amen. The Word was God. And the Word is God. The Word of God. Amen. It's alive and it's active. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And people say, only God can judge me. Well, His Word is going to. It says right here, amen. Hebrews 4:12. All Scripture is God-breathed. And the Lord's Word, His Word is flawless. No mistakes. What He says is what will be, and that is it. No doubt. No swaying back and forth trying to figure it out. Maybe it means this. No, it means what it means, what it says. Amen? I hope I don't come off too heavy, amen. But I'm telling you that the Lord is just stirring all of it. Man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Every word. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Not from our mouth, not from our friend's mouth, from God's mouth. What is God saying? The Lord says, I will watch over my word to fulfill it. It's His word in our lives. It's His word that is given to us. And it's for no one, no devil, no demon, no anybody to take it away from us. It's ours. Take it. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return void to me, says the Lord. It shall accomplish what I please, what He pleases. It shall prosper in the things which I sent it. The word of God. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, because it is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Nothing needs to be added or removed from it. In fact, Revelation gives you a warning about it. It's so perfect in its all its ways that it needs not to add anything to it. And this morning, as I open up in prayer, I pray that you're inspired. I pray that the word of God that's going to go forth is going to fulfill every word and promise that it already has gone forth to do. I pray that as you're in the spirit of the presence of God, that the Lord is going to remind you of that word that was given specifically for you in your life so that it will prosper and it will come to pass in the name of Jesus. And I pray this morning that you grab it and you embrace it and you never forget it. And when the enemy comes and he lies, that you say, nope, I have this word because my God said, and it will be so in the name of Jesus. And I pray that you walk out of here encouraged. I pray that holy indignation of anger comes inside your spirit and you get tired of the enemy tossing you to and fro in your life. I feel like the Lord is going to do some great things in this service. I told my husband, be ready, because I know God is going to move. I feel it. I feel it. I feel it. I feel the Lord wanting to heal. You know why? Because you belong to God. You are His, and you are all about His business. Everything that's within you has been created for God. Your worship, your tears, your dancing before the altar, your praise, the fire that God has given you in your spirit to speak is going to bring deliverance out in people. I pray that you leave led by the Spirit. I pray that you leave here different. I pray this morning that it's not another service. It's an encounter this morning with God. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, you are so clear in what you say. There's no confusion with you, Lord. There's no doubt. That's not of you. Lord, speak, Lord, through me. Let me just be the voice in the wilderness, Lord, for you. that makes a way for you into their lives, Lord, into my life. God, stir our hearts and our spirits this morning. Uproot the gifts and the calling that you have in our lives. Uproot them, Lord, from anything that has held them down, doubt, disappointments, life in general, mistakes, Lord. Uproot it this morning, God. I pray over this word that it is yours and that I would just give it out the way you gave it, Lord, and that it will go forth, Lord, and that it will land on your children, God, on your people, on your church, Lord, and that it would take root, God, and it will begin to flourish, God. And that you will be glorified through it. I come against every demonic plan of the enemy to steal this word from your people, Lord. In the name of Jesus, be silent. In the name of Jesus, leave. Lord, we lift you up this morning in our lives. I want everyone to put your hands on your heart this morning. I believe the Lord is going to speak a word. God is so beautiful in what he does. Where else can you go into one place and God can reach each and every one of us where we're at with what we're dealing with and the condition that we're in, all in one place without a copayment? Man? Come on. That's how good God is. Lord, I want you to let the Lord know I'm ready. You got to choose. It's a choice. It's always a choice. It's always a choice to follow Christ. Let the Lord know I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. We're ready, Lord. Have your way today. Have your way, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Because is this mine? Can I have it? Does someone forget? Okay. Man. I know the Lord has confirmed already this morning through even the worship that what he wants to say is what he wants to say. Amen. As Pastor said this morning, he said, he's tired of the little cute sayings of the new year. Right? And that's what I'm going to share a little bit about. Those little things. Those New Year's resolutions, right? That we all come and we all have different ones for different reasons in our lives, right? Most of the time it's physical. Most of the time it's saying, okay, I want to lose weight. I want to stop eating this. I want to start doing this. I want to go here. I want to do this now. My finances, get out of debt. If you're, yes, amen. Man. A New Year's resolution, amen. We make a decision. We come in agreement with ourselves, amen. We've already taken a vote in our lives, and we say, this is what we need to do. We need to resolve this problem. And New Year's resolutions used to be, it's in the days of old, amen. The 4,000 years ago, they did it to make promises to pay debt or return borrowed items. Amen. They made promises to their pagan gods not to do something. And if they did break those promises, then their pagan gods would not have favor over them. But we don't serve a God like that. We make many promises and we all break them. At least once. Amen. And then it went into the Romans where they would make good promises to act good, their behavior. And then in the Christian realm, we came and we started to look at our past mistakes and we resolved to do better the next year. And even we threw in scripture and prayer. Come on, watch night services. I have to reference some of these things. So it's from the History Channel. So there's no plagiarism. What is it called? Right? So those are where the facts came from. Amen? But that's what they used to do in the old with the New Year's. And in this New Year's, we began to make promises and to start looking at our lives and start making those adjustments. The Lord began to say to me personally, why do you make resolutions to better the flesh. The flesh. In my life, I have an awesome job. I thank God for my job. But I'm full, but I'm not satisfied. Does that make sense? There's fullness. Great job, but just not satisfied. And I began to say to myself, and I think I shared it with Sister Katrina one time. I said, yeah, well, I know what I'm supposed to do in the kingdom of God, but what am I supposed to do in the career time, right? But then somewhere along that conversation to now, God said, there's no difference. There's no difference. I am what God called me to do wherever I'm at. And the Lord began to say, the reason why you can't be satisfied trying to go to more school, more credits, more debt. I think we should be doctors by now, all the years we've been in school. We haven't finished, right? God said, why don't you invest in this in your spirit? That was God, amen? And I sat there like, wait, and it's free? No debt, Lord? Nothing? What do I got to do? What do I got to do, Lord? Choose to. Just choose to. It's so easy. Because my mind went, let me go look at Christian colleges. Let me go see if I can. You have to make application, get approved. You think Pastor Marty and Pastor Inez will approve me? I got to write a paper. They got, you know, all these things. And I'm not saying school is bad, okay? School's awesome. Amen. But it's not always necessary with God. Schooling can be here. I know me, myself, I was not very good in school. I took 9th grade twice, 10th grade twice, and said, okay, yeah, I either got to drop out or someone needs to help me graduate. That's exactly what happened. Thank God I graduated. But I don't know anybody in my class because they were all young. But the Lord began to place that in my spirit, and I know that God has been changing the way that I have been thinking, and my husband, and just kind of looking at the kingdom of God in a different perspective and a different way than what we were taught to look at it. And we see ourselves and we're so not ready, or we're so not educated, or we're so not prepared. We have debt. We're not ready. We're not ready. That's what we say to the Lord. We're not ready. We can't talk. We can't this. And God has been showing us He doesn't need any of that. Just open your mouth. And I want to encourage you today, because in this new year, I'm not saying don't have a resolution. But let me tell you some facts about resolutions in the physical. First 2 weeks usually go along beautifully. We're determined. We buy all the stuff we need. If we're going to work out, we buy cute clothes. A water infuser. That's my search right now. I'm like, what can I put in that infuser that's going to make me be full all day so I don't eat food? In the spiritual, I'm trying to like, I'm breaking my flesh. In the physical, I'm like, I'm going to starve because we're not going to eat nothing, right? But the first 2 weeks, beautiful. By February, people are already backsliding. By December, most of us are back where we started or even worse. Some of those things is weight loss, exercise, stop smoking, better money management, debt reduction. I got to talk about that, debt. If you don't answer all your calls because you're screening them, let me let them leave a message if it's that important. Debt. And you know what's funny? It's our debt. We did it. I said, me and my husband, I'm telling God, it's just simple, just here, this is the answer. We're like, no, we don't want to pay it. It's our debt. We did it. Most of the time people fail is because they're not ready to change the habits. Period. They're just not ready. They're not ready to let go of those bad habits. They set unrealistic goals and expectations in their lives. They have what they call a false hope syndrome, which means their resolution is significantly unrealistic and out of alignment with their internal view of themselves. They know what they need to do. They know what they need to do to get there, but they still have the same mentality of who they are. The failures, I can't fix it, I can't change it, I can't do it. It's too hard, I know I'm going to fail. I have that in my mind, and that's all I think about is who I see myself as. And it damages our self-esteem inside. And we fail ourselves again. We fail ourselves again. And we say, well, if I'm disappointed in myself, of course everyone else has to be disappointed in myself. And then and it's just not for women, it's for men too. Amen. And we get that view, but it says here that false hope syndrome is caused by how we see ourselves. Amen. And we think all these things are going to change our life, but when it doesn't, because we still have the same mentality of ourselves, we get discouraged and we go back to our old ways. And we need to revise our mind and our thinking. And all of us, even myself, we come into the church, we come to God with all of that mentality already set up and staged out. We already know, God, if I said I was going to do this, but then it slips out of my mouth, then I have failed. So that's it. I got to wait another year to try again. I'll try on Monday. We'll start Monday. Then Monday, Tuesday. Okay, we'll start next Monday. I counted 52 Mondays in 2018. 52 Mondays. That's a lot of Mondays to start over. And the Lord had been showing me in this new year that he's going to be building. And look at the way it came. People had been giving us word and a building. And we're just thinking, a building. And I'm like, wait, God, I don't see no building. I don't know where that's coming from. Why are they saying that? And God just said, not a building. Building, wait. Not an actual building, Lord. No, building. And I said, wow, okay. Well, building requires a good foundation. It requires purpose and planning and resources, definitely. It requires time, and even time of setback accounted for. Maybe lack of substance, weather, bad days. And it also requires a need for building. No one ever builds something and leaves it abandoned. There has to be a need for the building in our lives. And then there's build up. Build up. Amen? And that's increase in something that occurs as time passes. So that's something that's happening along our lives that we're building up. And it's going to cause us to be excited about it. And it's going to be a series of things that leads to an important event or occurrence. So in our lives, as we're going into the new year, as I said, we're not going to focus on the physical, but we're going to start focusing now, today, right now, as I'm going to share with our spirit, our calling. The very thing that you hate doing in the spirit is probably your calling. And it's such a battle in our lives, because we know what we need to do. We know where we need to be. We know what God has said. We know the promises that it's going to come to pass, but it's something inside of us just holds back. I'm guilty of that. I'm seeing that now. And I've been saved for 16 years. And I'm just seeing that. How much I've allowed myself to stay in a place of silence and allowing the enemy to shut my mouth and allowing the enemy to tell me different. I'm not educated enough. I can't speak well enough. I mispronounce words. Oh my gosh. My son's doing the spelling bee. I murdered those words. What did I say? Cooked? Crooked? And what, it was something else? What was it? It was such a simple word. My son says, Mom, you got to say them right because I'm going to spell them wrong if you say them wrong. And I'm like, I'm saying them right. I had to have my youngest daughter finish off the words because I couldn't do it. Amen. All of us here, God has given us something. All of us. And if it's in sharing the word, evangelism, you're going to have that stirring. You're even going to see the anointing of God is going to draw people to you. You're not even going to want those people to come to you. You're going to be like, yeah, no, I can't help you. But you know God has called you. And it's not until you embrace that you say, I will embrace what you gave me, Lord. I know what you created me to be, and I'm going to step in it, and I'm going to be bold. And Lord, I may not even know what I'm going to say, but I'm just going to open my mouth, and whatever comes out is what you want for that person. And that person is going to walk away filled and knowing that God is speaking to them. And you know, in my selfishness, I'm going through things. God's breaking me. God's changing me. My husband is, all these family things are happening, and I don't got time for that. But I walked away unsatisfied, empty, wondering, there's more. God, there has to be more, Lord. There's something more in me. I'm created to do something more, not this, not just this. And I've seen that when I embrace that, when I receive it, when I say, I do have the gift of faith. And wherever I go, I'm going to deposit that faith. And you know, when I meet somebody or when someone comes my way and they start talking negative, it just comes out of me. I just start to feel them. Believe and trust in God. Don't say those words. Don't say that. Let God show you that He's real. Man, and I give them the faith, and God acted, God does it. All I do is release it. That's it. God does the rest. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, I hope I said right, Lord. But if I didn't, Lord, just let it come to pass for your honor and your glory. So you can get glory, Lord. So you can be real in their life, Lord. You do it, Lord. I used to try to, in the mentality of the old, used to say, let's go so we could reach souls. Let's go reach souls. Let's go tell them about Jesus. Amen? But I've seen how we don't, if you just don't tell them and you just say, oh, you don't believe? Ask God. Ask God to show you if He's real. And He does. Because God is faithful to the word that comes out. And it will not return to God void. It will not. It will not. It will not contradict itself. It will not come against itself. It will not lie. He's not a man that he shall lie. It's going to come out and it's going to go forth the way it needs to go. And it's so beautiful to see. It's so beautiful to see. When they experience God on their own. It's so beautiful. And I encourage you this morning that if you know already what your calling is, begin to let the Lord know you want to embrace it. Choose to. Choose to. Choose to. It's always a choice. As I was being raised in the Lord, they would ask me to share here and there, and then I would say, stop asking me, God. Stop asking me. And then He wouldn't. And there I was, Lord, use me. If you could use anything, use me. You know that song, right? And then God's like, let me use you. And then they use me. Stop asking me, God. Stop asking me. A struggle. I had to embrace it. And your callings are different. And some of you, I pray for you because some of you, some of us have different gifts, some in the spiritual. And I know Pastor Martin knows that I'm a little bit spooky about all that. I let the Lord know, like, God, if you let me see a demon and I pass out, don't let that demon overtake me while I'm sleeping. Cover me, Lord. I'm real with God. I'm not trying to walk into things I know I'm not called to walk into. I've seen people fall like that. You have the anointing. It's your anointing. Understand that anointing. Understand the power that it comes with. Understand the deliverance that's going to come out from it. Understand why people come to you. And it's always in that certain area. And you're just like, wait, yeah. I even start to say, wait, am I going to go through this? But God has a special anointing in my life and my husband's life. He has a different anointing. All these misfits, that's it, because we're all misfits, people who don't fit in, people who aren't normal, right? They flock to him. And I always watch it like, that's so awesome. So awesome. And then we walk away and Benny's like, I don't know, anointing. The anointing draws. Amen. And there's people even now in your life that you see them trying to come near. They're trying to get in your life and embrace them. Embrace them. Amen. It's a new year. And yes, we're not going to have a slogan, or I don't know, but I'm not going to share a slogan about the new year, because we have to make a choice to operate in our calling. It's going to sit there and wait 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 16 years, 20 years. It's going to sit there and wait because God's not going to take it back because it's yours. Amen. I'm going to open up in Matthew 16:13, and I'm not going to be too long. I really just wanted to share what God has given me in my heart and to release it. And more importantly, I really want to spend time in the altar call, because I really felt the Lord moving this morning, and there's breaking that needs to happen. There's deliverance that needs to happen in the spirit. Amen. There's that worship in spirit and in truth. The Lord gave me that this morning. I'll share that in the altar, but it's time. Some of us, it's time. It's time. If we don't feel like we have the education, maybe we know we're called to share the word, but we just struggle. Ask God to help you in that struggle, to grow you in the word of God, to draw you into his presence of prayer and worship. And to, if you're intercessing, go and write down everything and stay accountable to, man, everybody that is linked to you. They need you. It's so important. They're dying without you. Everything that you have inside of you that God has created inside of you is for somebody's life. And they're going hungry, and they're going empty, and they're going lost because you're not ready. I wasn't ready. And they're hungry for some life, for some direction, some encouragement to say, you don't need to take your life, my sister. You're beautiful the way God has made you. And don't change it for no one. If you're a weirdo, be a weirdo. It's okay. People talk about me all the time. Now that I'm a grandmother, people are talking about me now. I don't care. I don't care what they say. I don't care what people say about me. I know what I'm going to embrace. Amen? And the word in Matthew 16:13, and the Message version says, when Jesus arrived in the village of Caesarea Philippi, oh my gosh, he asked his disciples, if I said it wrong, you can read it up there. He asked his disciples, what are people saying about who the Son of Man is? They replied, some think he is John the Baptizer, some say Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. Jesus is just a prophet. That's what they're saying. He pressed them And how about you? Who do you say I am? Jesus says, who do you say I am? Jesus came back. God bless. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I miss a step? Oh, Jesus came back. God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. Did I miss something? I'm sorry. Where is that? Oh, he pressed them. And what about, who do you say? Jesus came back. God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't answer that out of books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on this secret. Okay, I'm sorry. What happened? Why don't I see 16? So, Jesus came back. Son of man, God. Simon Peter said, you're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. What in the world? Come on, somebody. Jesus said, God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. That's his old name, son of Jonah, Simon. Remember, God calls him Peter later. Who do you say I am? Just came back. God bless you, son of Jonah. You didn't answer that out of books or from teachers. He didn't know that out of books or teachers. Amen? My Father in heaven, God himself let you in on this secret of who I really am. And now I'm going to tell you who you are. Really are. Oh, come on. I'm not going to just tell you your name. I'm going to tell you really who you are. How scary. If Jesus said that, like looked into your soul and was like, I'm going to tell you who you really are. He calls him, you are Peter, which is rock. Did he call him from his old name? No, right? Called him Peter. His new name. That's what Jesus gave him. This is the rock on which I will put together my church. Another one says that I will build my church. Another version says that. A church so expansive with energy that not only the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. And that's not all. You will have complete and free access to God's kingdom. Keys to open any and every door. No more barriers between heaven and earth. Earth and heaven. And yes on earth is yes in heaven. A no on earth is a no in heaven. He swore the disciples to secrecy. He made them promise they would not tell no one that he was the Messiah. Amen? And I like this story. I've read it in different versions, but I like it because it's so Jesus. He just went straight to the realness of everything. He didn't even care what other people were saying he was, because he already knew. What he wanted to know was, what is his church saying about who he is? What do we say in our lives? That word pressed them. It says that he pressed them and asked them, but who do you say, what about you? Who do you say I am? That word pressed means he caused or he moved them into a position to have contact with him. Now, I know we say, I love Jesus. I love God. There's no denying that. But when he presses in and life is coming against you and things are not working out, who do you say he is? What about you? He's pressing in. He's forcing him into a place of having to say, what do you say? What if I do this? Then what? What if this happens? Then what? What if the enemy attacks you? Then what? What if you don't believe in yourself? Then who am I? He pressed them and he said, who am I? Who do you say I am? Amen? I love the portion that says he calls him Peter. First he called him Simon, son of Jonah, birth name, family line. He knows where he comes from. If his father was like this, more than likely he's going to be like, you know, generational curses. He said, yeah, this, but I say to you, Peter, the rock. That's who I say you are. What is God saying today to you? What is God saying who you are? Who you are, and remember that when you know that, when God is speaking it to you, remember who you are in the midst of everything that's coming against you, even your own view of yourself. Remember that. He's going to cause you to be put in a position to have contact with Him. And He's going to call you who He says you are. Amen? He says you are Peter. And in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's time to be equipped for every good work. In the body, you've seen in the Word, it talks about some are hands, some are heads, some are legs. But what happens if you get up and your foot's working but your leg's not moving? Your foot can tap all day. It's going to tap, but it's not going to go nowhere. Has your hand ever fallen asleep before? And you try to grab something and you're just like, you can't. Or some of us, maybe we have some things that our body doesn't always work. Knees. Some of us want to all be the head, the shoulders. But God has called us to all different things, and we're so needed. We're so important. God is saying that He's going to build His church. It's not the building, it's us. He's going to build us. We belong to God no matter where we go. In this church, that city, we are still God's. We are still called. We are still going to operate in the gift that He has given us no matter where we're at in the physical. We belong to God. And so many times people want to build up the church. And I'm not saying go have a trashy church, because there's honoring God through the beautifulness of the church, right? But we got to remember, we're the church. We, us, me, you, we all have a part in building the body of Christ, the church of Christ. And like I said before, your gift is needed. If you have the gift of healing, you don't know if I'm waiting for that healing. I may be praying for it and fasting for it, but somebody has it. Be obedient to God. He's not going to let you fall. He's not going to make you look like an idiot. He's not going to let you fall on the floor and not recover. He's not. He's going to protect you. You're going as a voice in the wilderness. The Word says a voice in the wilderness, making a way for the Lord. Not for a ministry, not for this. And I'm sorry, I love this church. I love pastors. I dislike church politics. It just makes me angry inside. I get mad, almost like, I don't want to say rebellious, but it kind of maybe might be. I don't know. Pray for me. It's so ugly. I don't like it. I don't like to see it, and I don't like to be around it, and I don't want to be part of it. I refuse to be part of it. When I first got saved, we were in a ministry, and I know it's funny, and I know God is going to break it, but we sit in the back. You see us sitting in the back. We just chill back there, right? But what not everybody knows is that we've been in a church where people fought for the front seat. They would put like their whole bodies on there in conferences, and jackets and a pin and a tissue and an earring. Like, really? I've gone to conferences where people are fighting to get in the front, in the door. Older generations are getting pushed just so the younger ones could get in. It's crazy. I don't want none of that. I think I take it a little too extreme now. I don't want to come at all to the front, but it's rooted in me that just really like, ugh. What happens if there's no front row when we come in? I don't think we're going to have a front row if the Lord ever allows us to have. We're just going to have no rows. It's just going to be scattered. Turn to the side. See what happens. Man? Don't get caught up in that. That's not where God wants you, in that place of religiousness, of walking the way someone tells you you have to walk. My husband was, I didn't have a choice. He had to be a pastor. He had to take all the schooling, and we were trying to raise 4 children, get them through school. He had to work, plus pay for schooling so he can be something he didn't feel he was. Men, be who you are, who God made you to be. And don't be, if God tells you, like I know my sister, she shared with me, she said one time, it was her birthday, the Lord said, go share your cake. Go share your cake with people. She said, okay, she got her cake, she got her car, she went. She said that the Lord just told her where to stop and share her cake. I hope you told your boyfriend, I hope you told him about that. Because if you didn't, then I did. And she said it was the most beautiful time that she ever had. They talked. They didn't talk about God. They just talked. They just talked. Just share my cake. Just, I come to bring you cake. Can you imagine that? In the streets. I kind of worry, like, did you bring water or milk or something for them? But she had a beautiful time. But what happens if God would have told us that? What, the things that God tells us now? I know when God tells me, I'm like, oh, Jesus, okay, it's at work, Lord. I'm going to do it. If I get fired, you're going to provide. And it's just, I just do it. I just do it. I try not to think about, well, what? There's rules. Just do it. The Lord's going to make a way. Even one time, I had to pray for this young girl, and her boss passed by. I could see him. I was praying, and he kind of stopped, like, and I was just like, the name of Jesus, right? The enemy, right? Don't be distracting us. Later on, he said to me, I heard you're a pastor. I was like, wow. Who'd you hear that from? I don't say that. I don't say nothing. It's not that I don't like to. It's that when you tell people, oh, I'm this and I'm that, they start to get all weird around you. They don't want to talk. They apologize when they cuss. It's just like, stop doing that to me. Don't do that to me. I don't want you to be like that. Just be you. I love you. I'm not trying to judge anybody, right? But I don't say stuff like that. And so when he did that, I was like, the Lord showed me right there. Remember when he saw you praying? And he didn't say nothing. He didn't get mad. He didn't tell on me. He's not my boss. He didn't say nothing. It's beautiful to see how God sets all that up for us. He paves the way for us to be able to speak and talk and share. Amen? God's going to build his church. James 4, 13, 17. Do you have it up here? Oh, you just have that. Sorry. James 4, 13. It says, come now, pay attention. Those of you who say today or tomorrow, we'll go such and do this city and spend a year there and carry on our business. We plan our lives. We're going to go do this. We're going to do. He says, but yet neither of you know not even one thing that's going to happen in your life tomorrow. Neither. What is secure in your life? That's what the word says in the message. You're merely a vapor, right? You ought to say, if it's the Lord's will. How many of us don't want to say, if it's your will, Lord, because we know it is. If it's your will, Lord, we'll go to church. It is God's will. Go. Go. Unless you can have an altar call at your house. Then invite me and I will come to your house. And we'll have an altar call there. It's the Lord's will to walk into your calling and operate in the gift that God has given you. Amen? It is God's will. And he said he's going to build his church. And you are his church. And it is God's will for you to do what he's asked you to do. In Ephesians 4:11, it talks about that we are all called to equip the body of God. There is a younger generation that I speak to that need to hear the things God has given me and shared with me and taught me the wisdom and the knowledge. And on the other hand, I need somebody to deposit in me. I need it. At my company party, we announced that I was a grandma. I had to make sure they were going to announce it. But a lady came to me and she said, I was a grandmother at 39 too. And I said, I'm going to need your help. And she said, give them back. That's what she said. I was like, man, because we were about to buy a crib at our house and a playpen in our house and a stroller, everything for us. She said, give them back. I was like, wow, thank you. Amen. I need that too. We need that. The younger generation, we need that. We hunger for that. And last he says, tell no one that he's Jesus the Christ. In Matthew 7:21, I'm going to go there only because it's really, it's a scripture we all hear all the time. King James 7:21. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. He who does the will of the Father. He who does the will of the Father. But he who does the will of the Father. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in him, cast out demons, and done many wonders? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. So yes, the gift is important. Yes, the gift is what we have to do. But more importantly than anything, we have to know who he is. Jesus said, who do you say I am? Am I your creator always? Am I your healer always when you're sick? When you have a disease that the world says is going to take your life early? Am I still your healer? Am I still the provider when you have nothing? And we've gone through that where we had nothing and we shared, I don't know if we shared WIC cereal. Come on. Do we all know what WIC is? Who doesn't know what WIC is? I'm just kidding. Come on. Am I your provider still? Am I your healer? Am I your deliverer? Is there a demon so big that I cannot cast it out? Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? Do you know who you serve in heaven? The Lord has given me the gift of faith, and I have seen so many things open in my life. There is nothing impossible that I don't ask. It sounds crazy, but I ask for the impossible things. Why not? Why not ask for those things? I don't want to live with what this life, what the enemy has handed to me. I don't want that. Amen. Man, if we could all stand, we could have the worship. Man. Number one is know God. When you know God, you're going to know you don't belong in the world. That's not your place. Something inside of you is going to long for God. Something inside of you is going to want the nourishment and the presence of your Father. Don't let salvation hang as a choice in your life. Well, I'm going to go back to the world. Go back to what? What's out there? What is out there that is so satisfying? Nothing, because it all leads in burned. Man. Jobs. Choose today that you are not going to allow going back to be a choice anymore. Every day I wake up, things happen in our lives. But it's not the breaking point of me saying, I don't want this life anymore. I remember today where you were, where the enemy has had you. Get sick of it. Get tired of it. Me, I'm disgusted with it. He stole my worth. He stole everything that was me, that was intended for God. He ripped it out of my hands at such a young age. And it disgusts me. The world, I love the people because they're in that place. Don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about the things that happen in the world. I'm talking about the enemy that's there, that's waiting for you to just drop or to go into a place where he's going to say, here's a generational curse, and now you're going to be like your father, your father's father, your father's father. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I am not that. And I will not operate as so. And I will not receive it. Men, there's things that are blocking how we see ourselves, our self-esteem. And it's so hard when all you've known is hurt and all you've known is brokenness. It's so hard to see yourself as anything more. But that's not the life God wants you to have. It's not the life God wants you to live. And it's not the life that you're going to pass down to others. Not just your physical children, their spiritual children. It's a choice every day to get up and say, I know I'm struggling, God. I know I feel it. It's tugging at me. I'm struggling, God. I can't find you. I can't hear you. You're not loud enough. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why I'm feeling like this. I feel it just grabbing me and tugging me, God. But you have to make a choice to say, but God, nevertheless, I place my life in your hands and you take over it. You remove all that. You do, Lord. I give it to you because it's not mine to keep. It's not ours to keep. This new year, decide, make a choice. Choose to want to change. Choose it. I want it, God. I hunger for it, God. I don't want to stay like this. I'm tired of being tossed back and forth, in and out. What the enemy wants to say to me, I hear it. I listen. Sometimes I get so angry. I'm just like, shut up. Be quiet. Be still. Do not say a word. I don't let the enemy speak. I don't even let him whisper. I don't want to hear it. I don't like to be around negative stuff. I don't like to be involved in cheesemen. I don't like all that. I don't like it because it's just going to pour into my spirit. And the enemy already does enough. Then to add more stuff, placing myself in a place of being. Do you know what? Some people who don't know Jesus, amen. They don't want to see good for you. Man, they say they do. But when you're blessed, lend somebody some money. They don't pay you back. See what happens. See what happens. See if that friendship is really as strong. Money can tear a friendship apart. Money. Amen? Know God. And allow God to show you. He says, in that last verse, he said, don't tell anybody who I am. Don't you think that's funny that he would say that? He made them promise that they would tell no one that he's the Messiah. Wait a minute. I thought we were supposed to take the gospel out, let them know about Jesus. But Jesus himself is saying, don't tell them who I am. My Father in heaven's going to tell them. My Father in heaven's going to show them. Amen? And your Father in heaven's going to show you who he is. If today you're here and you're just like, Lord, I don't know who you are, much less I don't know who I am. Amen? Allow God to show you. I love to do that. I love to deposit that seed. You don't know God. You don't think He's real. Let Him show you. Let Him show you Himself. Amen. And then the third altar call I'm going to have is I want to pray. Pastor, if we can, if somebody can get Pastor Inez out here. Amen. I believe it's important that she be up here. Ladies, you have a beautiful pastor's wife. She's so funny. I love her. She's so cute. And I don't know, we didn't all plan to have red on today either. So I told Pastor Marty, what are we going to wear next weekend? We already used it for this weekend. The Lord had showed my husband, and the Lord had showed, when He said it, I was like, okay, I'll pray about it. I'll let the Lord tell me. The Lord has to tell me. But He took me to this scripture, and I'm going to read it. It says, if anyone among you is suffering, he must pray. If anyone joyful, he is to sing praises to God. If anyone among you is sick, he must call for the elders, the spiritual leaders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil. So if you're an elder today, get your oil ready. You should know if you're an elder here. Pastor, Marty doesn't have to tell you. He should know. Amen? Of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will restore the one who was sick. Restore, amen? Restore. And I know people are like, I don't want to go to the altar call. That's always something. Like, I had a sister-in-law, she just come, she's like, I'm going to message, I'm passing praise and worship, message, I'm leaving before the altar call. Like, you missed everything. That's where everything happens. That's where the action's at. It's where deliverance and oil and, right, laying on hands. And today I called Pastor Inez up here because I wanted her leadership to come, those that are her leaders, come. And every one of us here is linked. I believe it for my life, Pastor. And Pastor Inez has been awesome, an awesome leader to me. I have to say that. Like, yeah, awesome. Has so much love. Amen. And it says that the prayer of faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. All that just by coming to get their hands laid on. So, Pastor, your elders, your leaders, have them come up. I don't know who you decide, or if I said they should know who they are. Like this, Pastor Lou. Can we have the music, baby, please? We're going to have three different altar calls, but I want the elders to be ready. We're going to wait. The Lord said it this morning. I heard it in the Spirit. We're going to wait for the leaders to come. We're going to wait for the elders. We're going to let...